Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning, and we'd like to welcome you to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast here this morning on WLZA. This is Elder David Wise, and on behalf of my partner in this ministry, Elder Joe Nettles, we're glad to have you here with us this morning, and we hope that you can return every week, whether it be on the radio, here on WLZA at 8 a.m. every Sunday morning, or on the internet or on a podcast, whatever your medium that you join us here this morning, we're glad to have you with us. And if you enjoy the messages that you hear here on the radio program, we'd certainly love to have some feedback from you and to know that you're listening. You can find our email address or postal address at our website, gospel-of-grace.com. We also have past messages on our website and other articles and links that we hope that can be profitable for you. We'd certainly love to have you come visit our churches that produce this program. Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, where Elder Joe Nettles serves as pastor, is located at 40283 on Wolf Road outside Caledonia, Mississippi. And Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, where I try to serve, is at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, and we're 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We both meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and then we also have a Wednesday night meeting in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. We'd certainly love to have you come worship with us anytime that you have an opportunity. We'd like to bring a message for you this morning, and we'll be beginning in Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse 18, if you have your Bibles this morning and you have a mind to be turning there, and we'll bring the message for you right after this song.
The soul.
good morning again, and we're glad that you're able to stay with us here this morning. We hope that you can turn with us this morning to Luke's Gospel and the 18th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the 18th verse. This is Jesus' interaction with the man who's commonly known as the rich young ruler. As we mesh together to the different accounts of Jesus' interaction with this man, we understand that he's a ruler. Here from verse 18, other verses let us know he was a young man, and then we'll find later that he leaves sorrowful because he has many riches. So therefore, this young man has come to be known as the rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus in Luke chapter 18. A certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, the first misconception that this young man had is that he could do something to merit an inheritance. Now, we understand that an inheritance is carried out in a will, a legal document that is determined by the parents, not by the child. It's not an open-ended contract that anyone can opt into. Simply put, you cannot choose to become an heir of your parents. You cannot choose to become an heir of anyone, or all of the fortune, or lack of fortune, that might be encompassed in that inheritance. So even by the nature of an inheritance, there's nothing that we can do to earn an inheritance. Certainly the inheritance of eternal life. So he asked Jesus, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" The short answer is nothing. But Jesus takes the tactic of tearing down the self-sufficiency and the self-confidence in his own works of this man. So he tells him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And the young man says, "All things I have kept from my youth up." So you've told me to follow the law. He says, "I have followed the law." But Jesus tells him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Jesus puts his finger on the pressure point of this man. Now, he was a good man. He was an upright man. And it's important as we proceed here to understand that this is a child of God who does not enjoy the blessings and the benefits of the kingdom of God. It's a picture of a disobedient person who is unwilling to sacrifice the things of this world to enter into the kingdom of God. We understand that this young man is a child of God because in Mark's account, in Mark 10 and verse 21, it says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And the people that Jesus loves, he has always loved, and he always will love. And those are the children of God that will reside with him in heaven. But we'll see later in this context that this man was unwilling to enter into the narrow gate of the kingdom of God. But he points out that even though he has followed the law, even though he has lived an upright life, there is still something lacking in his life for him to enjoy the full benefits of his relationship of being a child of God. And this is an important point for us because if we had this same interaction with Jesus, there's always a pressure point in our lives as well. There's always one thing thou lackest. We may follow the written law, the Ten Commandments to a jot and to a tittle as this man did, but there's always areas of our life where we fail and we falter in our discipleship, and Jesus points that out. He points the spotlight on this area that this man needed to overcome to enjoy the full benefits of the kingdom of God. But this man, this child of God, was not willing to make that sacrifice in verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This is a ruler that had great possessions, but he was not willing to sacrifice those possessions to enter into the kingdom of God. And after that, after Jesus sees this sorrowful countenance come upon this man, in verse 24, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, it's important for us to understand that this is not saying that a person who has material possessions cannot be a child of God. There are many men in the Old Testament that had great possessions and exhibited lives of faith and godly discipleship toward God. Abraham, Noah, Job, Boaz, David, Solomon. There's many examples in the Old Testament and in the Bible of men who had great possessions, but were still devout disciples and children of God. But what Jesus is pointing out in this context is that if one's personal identity is defined by their riches, if this person places a priority and defines themselves as a rich person and places such a priority on their wealth and on their riches that they're unwilling to give them up, then they will not enter into the kingdom of God. They will not follow Christ in discipleship here in this world. And what we find is, as long as this person holds their identity, as long as they still view themselves and they attach their personal identity to their riches, they will be unwilling and unable to follow Christ in discipleship and to enter into the blessings of the kingdom of God in the church here in this world. It is virtually impossible for someone who places such a high priority on their wealth and on their riches to put those things down and enter into the kingdom of God. And he says, it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, a person who views his personal identity of his riches, to place those down and to enter into the kingdom of God. And we understand that it's impossible for a large animal like a camel to go through the eye of a needle that would be used to sew up a garment. It's impossible. And Jesus emphasizes this in verse 27. But the people that heard Jesus make this statement say, who then can be saved? In verse 26, if the rich men, if the prominent citizens of our society that have attained wealth and riches, if they cannot enter into the kingdom of God, who then can be saved? Who can partake of the deliverance that is under consideration here by entering into the kingdom of God if the rich men, as it were, are virtually excluded from that? And notice what Jesus says in verse 27 as a answer to the question, who then can be saved? Jesus says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now understand, the salvation that's under consideration here is not an eternal salvation. Jesus introduced in verses 24 and 25 that the rich man is not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, the entranceway into the kingdom of God is a narrow way and a straight gate. And I would tell you that this gate is so narrow that you cannot take the possessions and the wealth of this world into that gate and into that kingdom and not be restricted in your service. And that's what Jesus is declaring here. As long as a man identifies himself as a rich man, as long as he places such a personal value and a personal attachment on the material goods and the wealth and the riches that he has, he will be unwilling to enter into the straight gate and the narrow way of discipleship. It is impossible for a man who still views himself, but notice, all things are possible with God. That means that God can show even the rich man that the benefits of the kingdom and the treasures that he will receive in heaven, as Jesus told this man in verse 22, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, come and follow me. The treasures in heaven and the kingdom of heaven in discipleship are of much greater value than the dollars and the cents in your bank account or the gold that you have in your treasury for the child of God here in this world. Notice the question that they asked, who then can be saved? So now, as we follow the pathway of Jesus after this point, he makes his way toward Jericho. He heals blind Bartimaeus at the end of Luke 18 as he enters into Jericho. And then at the beginning of chapter 19, he enters into the city of Jericho, beginning in verse 2 now. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. Jesus is entering into the city of Jericho, and to put it nicely, Zacchaeus was a short man. He was of little stature, and he desired to see Jesus. Now understand, he is already exhibiting the evidence of a child of God, because we understand that the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. And in verse 3, we see that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus. So he is seeking Christ. He desires to see him, but unfortunately, because he's vertically challenged, as it were, he's not able to see him because of the multitude. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree and sees him, and notice Jesus is passing by, and he looks up into this tree and he sees this short little rich man named Zacchaeus in the tree, and he says, I'm going to come down into your house. Now, notice how Scripture specifically points out that he was rich. He was chief of the publicans. Now, the publicans were natural-born Jews who imposed and collected the Roman taxes, but many of the publicans were known as being very corrupt, that they would charge inexorbitant fees that made them rich to where they profited, and they became rich off taking advantage of their natural kinsmen, actually, the Jews. And these publicans were treated with just as much contempt, actually, as the Gentiles were, because they were viewed as traitors to their own country. And not only that, they had gotten rich off of being traitors to their country, as it were, and oppressing their natural kinsmen. But notice, Zacchaeus is a very rich man, and Jesus comes into his house. In verse 7, there's some, when they heard that Jesus was going to his house, murmured and said that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, earlier in his ministry, Jesus had been accused, and he actually accepted the title of being the friend of publicans and sinners. In this instance, we find that the publican and the sinner is found in the same man, as Zacchaeus is the chief of publicans, and he is well known among the people of that community of Jericho as being a sinner. But praise be to God, Jesus is the friend of publicans and sinners. He's the friend of the outcast in the society. Even those that have performed vile deeds to earn that reputation, he is still the friend of sinners. And that's good news to a sinner like me this morning. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And I want you to understand, this is a child of God who was seeking Jesus Christ, but there were some things in Zacchaeus' life that were hindering him from fully entering into the kingdom of God. Now, in contrast to the rich young ruler that we saw in the previous chapter, instead of him being unwilling to give up these great riches, I want you to notice the repentance and the fruits meet for repentance, that Zacchaeus shows that he is willing to give up his riches. He says, I'm willing to give half my goods and give them to the poor. And if I have done anything wrong, if I have had misdeeds and false accusations in my business dealings, I'm willing to restore him fourfold. What he says is, I am willing to repent of these financial misdeeds that I have done, but I am willing to give up my riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Notice this heart of repentance that Zacchaeus shows. And I want you to notice precisely what Jesus tells him when he shows this heart of repentance that he is willing to give up the riches that he has attained. What does Jesus tell him? Verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house. Forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus in the previous chapter answered the question, who then can be saved? And he told the disciples, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." There was a man in Luke 18 that went away sorrowful because he still viewed his personal identity by his riches. And as long as you're in that state, you will never put the kingdom of God first and foremost in your life, because we're told in Matthew 6:33, "But seek you first the kingdom of God." If there is something between you seeking the kingdom of God first and foremost in your life, it will hinder you and prevent you from entering into the salvation and the deliverance that is in being a disciple of Christ. There is something that's going to hinder you from putting the kingdom of God first and foremost in your life. And that's what we see with the rich young ruler. His riches in his priority listing was still above the kingdom of God. But I want you to understand, the kingdom of God came to the house of Zacchaeus, and he was willing to give up those riches to put the kingdom of God first and foremost. And then what did Jesus tell him? "Today is salvation come to your house." You've been saved from the worldly materialism that is all around us. So many children of God are guilty of defining their self-worth by their net worth, by defining their value by the amount of money that you have in the bank or the amount of assets that you possess. Let me tell you, the value for a child of God is the treasures in heaven. It's the treasures in the kingdom of heaven that we get to partake of until we receive the full breadth of our inheritance at an eternal time. And Zacchaeus understood that when Jesus Christ came into his house, and no doubt taught him this. And he shows this heart of repentance that he's willing to give up his riches to press into the kingdom of God. And he says, "Salvation has come into your house." Deliverance from the bondage of the riches that possess you. It's a very true statement that people say, "More money, more problems." Well, let me tell you, Zacchaeus was delivered from more money, more problems, because he was willing to get rid of all of his money. And because of that, he was delivered from all the problems that come along with it and the hindrances of him entering into the kingdom of God. Salvation came to his house, but notice also what Jesus told him, as he also is a son of Abraham. As I said before, the publicans were viewed so poorly by their Jewish kindred that they were treated just like the Gentiles. They were treated like you were not even a natural born Jew. What Jesus proclaims here is that he's not a natural Jew, he is a spiritual Jew. Just as we find at the end of Romans chapter 2, that a Jew is not one that has that outward circumcision of the flesh, but he has that inward circumcision of the heart. And this man that had been ostracized by his natural kindred, and no doubt he had been told, "You're no son of Abraham because you're a traitor to the Jewish nation," Jesus tells him, "You are accepted into the eternal family of Abraham," if you will. Don't you know this was a great comfort to a man who had been told his entire professional career that he was a traitor and no better than those Gentile dogs because of the way that he conducted himself in his publican profession? And Jesus tells him, "You know what? You are accepted into God's eternal family, the eternal kingdom of Israel, if you will, and you are a spiritual son of Abraham." Don't you know that was a great comfort to Zacchaeus? So here we have the contrasting stories of the sorrow and the salvation of the rich men. The sorrow of the rich young ruler who is unwilling to put the kingdom of God first and foremost in his life and to retain riches as his utmost priority. But then we have in the next chapter a rich man who is willing to give up half of his goods and restore to every person he's wronged fourfold to press into the kingdom of God. And Jesus declares to him, "Now as salvation come into your house." Now, as we go back to Luke chapter 18, after Jesus addresses those disciples in verse 27, we see the self-centered nature of Peter in particular, but really all the disciples coming out, and Peter asks, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." What he's essentially asking is, "Lord, we followed you in discipleship. What are we getting for it? What's coming to us?" And Jesus tells him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Now understand, the initial question that the rich young ruler had asked him was, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" In Matthew's account of this, Jesus says at the end that the person that gives up all these things will inherit eternal life. Now, our discipleship here in this world is not what gains us eternal life, but instead, the only person who will live that lifestyle of discipleship, and no doubt the only person who will give up riches here in this world, is one who is a child of God, and therefore their inheritance is in heaven with God. And therefore their inheritance is in heaven with eternal life with the Son of God. I want you to notice the same description in Mark's account in Mark 10 and verse 29. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." You'll notice that everything that the disciple of Christ gives up in verse 29 is received a hundredfold in verse 30, except for the person that gives up the Father does not receive a Father, because God is our Heavenly Father, and the person who gives up their wife will not receive a hundredfold wives here in this world, because their utmost desire will be to the bride of Christ. I want you to notice you give up some things. Verse 29, you receive those same things back in verse 30, but you also get a bonus thing that you receive in verse 30 with persecutions. For the disciple of Christ that is willing to sacrifice here in this world, yes, there will be persecutions that come, but understand the treasures that we receive, the blessings of the kingdom of God here in this world, and the treasures of heaven that we will receive as an eternal inheritance is so much greater riches than any riches of silver and gold that we can amass here in this world. We need to keep that in mind as we see a child of God who is unwilling to place the kingdom of God first and foremost in his life and unwilling to sacrifice the priority that he placed upon his riches, and because of that he went away sorrowful. Child of God, you don't need to be sorrowful here in this world. You need to be joyful, just as Zacchaeus was. And don't let material possessions hinder you from entering into the kingdom of God. Partake of that salvation in discipleship that Zacchaeus had when he placed the kingdom of God first and foremost in his life. We're thankful that you had a chance to be with us this morning, and until we have a chance to be with you again, we pray God will richly bless you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty roller.